or tune to Maranatha Drive on Adventist World Radio, powered by SID Media.
Now, many Christians believe and practice the biblical custom of baptism by immersion. Even Adventists are finding themselves doing the same practice, right? In a similar way that Jesus, this idea of immersion, is what Jesus Christ himself was baptized like by John the Baptist. Now, this is a monumental experience in the life of a Christian, right? And this week, we will go through its symbolism and its significance and try to understand what it means and what's its purpose, but also hoping that at the end of it, you, my dear friend, can commit yourself to give your life to Christ in this very act of baptism. Guiding us in this session is going to be my elder, Elder Lloyd Taadira. Elder, good afternoon to you and welcome.
Good afternoon, my elder. It's always a privilege and a prayer and a pleasure to be back on here.
No, certainly, certainly. Thank you so much for accepting the invitation and for your time. We truly appreciate you.
Thank you so much.
Wonderful. Now, Mdala, we are talking this week matters of baptism. Maybe let's start off with the basics. Maybe somebody's wondering, hey, it's such a big word. What does it even mean? Maybe talk to us about the not just the meaning of the word, but what this ceremony is all about, and more so its significance in the life of one who wants to become a Christian. What does it symbolize?
All right. Thank you so much for inviting me discussion of such an important subject, which is a fundamental belief number 15 of our 28 fundamental beliefs as the Adventists. Maybe I could just start by defining just what it is, act of baptism. The word itself comes from a Greek word, bapto, which means to wholly cover in a fluid. You know, when you look at the Last Supper, John chapter 13, verse 26, when Christ gave the soap to Judas, the word used there is bapto. So it is very important to know the etymology, where about the term comes from. So by definition, in secular terms, out of the Bible, it refers to having something covered wholly in a fluid. And naturally, when we take it into the Christian ritual, it means to be immersing in water, to make fully wet, as it were, which directly contradicts different practices we do have in the Christian world. We do have people who get baptized by marching under a flag, others by flogging, by sprinkling, by pouring, you name it. But
flogging.
By definition, yes, we do have such a practice.
I never heard of that one. I'm shaking, Dad. I promise you, I'm not laughing. Wow. Okay. So you're saying there are different methods, but are not qualifying if you look at the word itself and the way it's mentioned here in the scripture.
Because by definition, the word baptize comes from bapto, which means to cover wholly within a fluid. It is a ritual which has a lot of meaning within Christianity itself, as I'm sure everyone is aware, which is symbolizing some kind of cleansing. The first instance of baptism is recorded in the book of Matthew chapter 3, whereby the Bible talks of John coming to baptize, and the meaning thereof being, repentance, which is a turning away from evil, it precedes this ritual we call baptism. So it is a show of a conversion, if I could call it that, which shows a turning about, and not looking over your shoulder. You know, there's two different things. It means a turning about, a complete conversion, and it is done publicly. And for a reason, it is a public declaration of one's conversion.
All right.
When you read in the book of Exodus chapter 21, there was the law that when a slave, a Hebrew slave, would decide to serve his master rather, for the rest of their life, the master would take him before the judges and pierce in front of everyone that he's here as a public show. So pretty much that. is what baptism is all about, which is why it is heard in full view of our fellow Christians. Mm. It is a public show of conversion, a sign of repentance, which immediately means that kids cannot be baptized because they cannot make a decision for conversion. Mm-hmm. When you read the book mm-hmm. of Jonah, the very last verse in the book of Jonah, it talks of our children not knowing their left or right. So
yeah,
it can never be done with children because they do not know their left or right. It is a show of our conversion, which is not something that kids can have at a very early age.
Quite fascinating, quite fascinating. No, thank you so much for that. And I think it kind of lays the base for us. I wanted to just maybe prick your mind a bit regarding maybe some of the hard and fast interpretations we apply to the words. I mean, you read from the Greek baptizo and so forth, and how that in the Greek means to immerse and to subdue completely with a particular liquid. That are we not maybe trying to be too technical and maybe even drawing it to maybe an extremist approach to say, no, that's definitely what it means? I mean, I'm trying to look at the scripture and how sometimes the Bible has used that word baptize. You get, for example, Paul speaking to the Corinthian church as he writes his letter in chapter 10. He says to them, hey guys, don't you know that our forefathers, when they passed under the cloud and went through the sea, they were baptized, you know, in that kind of an approach. He considers that to have been a baptism. Now, when you look at it, they were not fully immersed in the cloud. They just went under it as they were, a pillar of cloud was above them. They were not fully immersed in the sea. The sea was in the left and then the right, and they were passing. And I mean, when people go under a flag or something of the sort, are we not trying to now say, no, when we discredit that, are we not being too legalistic and Pharisaic, whereas the scripture has kind of described baptism to be a kind of a, yeah, we understand the hard and fast immersion part, but it's a loose term, really, which can be applied and not so strictly so?
When we talk of as you alluded to, 1 Corinthians chapter 10, verse 2, mm-hmm. whereby Paul describes the Exodus as a kind of
a baptism.
Of a baptism. And mm-hmm. even Peter also referred to the flood, you know, as being a baptismal ceremony for Noah and the other seven, you know. That's in a secondary sense. But there needs to be a being born again, you know, when you read in John chapter 3, when Christ was discussing with Nicodemus, he was very clear that there is this kind of ceremony that needs to be had for someone to be a candidate for heaven. And Jesus was instructive about it and not suggestive. In fact, when you read in Ephesians chapter 4, verse 5, Paul indicates that there is only one kind of baptism, mm-hmm. and our Christian belief is that this one by immersion is it.
And maybe to just underscore that point is perhaps to touch on the symbolism that baptism represents, which can only be met if you're going to look at it from the immersion perspective, where the other methods might not fulfill that symbolism.
Yeah, I'll give an example that baptism is an enactment of Christ dying once and rising mm-hmm. once. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. You see, this is something that we can only pick from a baptism by immersion, and not by walking under a flag, by flogging, by sprinkling, or by pouring.
Yeah, yeah. One was saying, show me a person who, when he has died, we say you are buried and we sprinkle some dust on you and we are saying we are done with you. No, it doesn't work that way. Yeah.
Yes, Dave.
You need to fully be covered, and that can only be achieved in that manner. And I think that symbolism kind of then makes the person be found in Christ or not be found in Christ. We've got a question coming through on our WhatsApp line. Dear listener, if you're joining us, this is the Maranatha Drives Bible Focus here, where we are looking at this pillar of scripture, one of the principles in God's word, which says if you are looking to become a Christian, you need to be baptized. And we're talking to Elder Loita Adira. Do join in the conversation, +27 73 470 3520. The comment says here, Abdallah, a friend of a friend's child. Okay. A friend of a friend's child says he wants to get baptized because he wants to taste the cookies and the juice. I think he's speaking to how Lord's Supper is sometimes restricted for those who have given their lives to Christ. So he wants to eat the cookies and taste the juice as well. I'm not joking. So there's a debate now because some are saying, let him get baptized. I mean, he's about 11, 12 years old, because he's a good enough idea. He has a good enough idea of what he's doing, even his if his reasons might be shallow. He will eventually get a deeper understanding, but we have no right to block him. Others say, no, he's trivializing it. I mean, you can't be baptized for cookies and drinks. What would you advise in such a case, Mdala?
My feeling is that in such an instance, we should not let the child be baptized just for the sake of satisfying his or her curiosity.
Mm-hmm.
It is our duty as parents, and I'm sure that generally as Adventists, we agree that just about 12 years of age,
mm-hmm.
a child is able to make spiritual decisions more or less.
Yeah.
But I think it really lies on the parents to transcend the child from just a need for baptism to mm-hmm. satisfy curiosity and to be taking it for what it really is.
Yeah. And I think that's a very important subject, because especially if you're going to be mentioning, like you said earlier on, there needs to be the sense of conversion that must precede baptism. Not repentance, not a perfect life, but rather a sense of I need to change my ways. So once you have that, then you can accept a baptism. But here comes a question, though, which is kind of laid in the undertones of this question that's coming through from a WhatsApp line, Mdala, to say, where do we draw the line between trying to ensure that person is accepting Christ and gatekeeping? Because sometimes you find people who are in your position as elders, people who are in the clergy, pastors and so forth, who then try to say, no, you're not yet ready for baptism. No, you need to first complete these lessons and spend 5 years in this class and so forth. And then you're like, but isn't that gatekeeping? I mean, when you read accounts in scripture, almost every time somebody requested for baptism, there was no question about, are you guys fit enough? No, you must first get more lessons. It was just, you want baptism? No, for certain. Here it is. Here's water. Let's do it.
Yeah, I think one risk that we often run, my elder, is making exceptions the rule.
Okay.
Yeah, I think we, like talking from where I stand, I see there's a lot of leaving the church post-baptism because most of the candidates would not have known what they would be committing to. So I think it is better that we err on the side of, I don't want to call it gatekeeping,
okay,
but making sure that people really know what they are making a commitment to. We do have a lot of people leaving the church because, you know, eventually they wake up to the reality of them having to live in a certain way, which they would not have understood at the point of baptism. I think it also addresses one issue, which I think is very pivotal for us to discuss, whether one can be saved without being baptism, without being baptized. My apologies.
Yeah.
But I feel more often than not, we might fear that this person might die before he or she is baptized, and then they will see heaven. So I think another important discussion to have is whether one can be saved without being baptized.
Yeah.
I think all the arguments would hinge around that. I think that is the issue, which is a back of it. Maybe I would just take a moment to address that one.
No, certainly, Mdala, if it's going to address the topic to say, hey, how do we then govern between this gatekeeping and whatnot? Because, yeah, like you're saying, it's a very important subject and we need to be. I mean, I just maybe before you come in to speak about this idea of if you, because we do treat it there as though if you don't get baptized, you're done for. Is the sense that When we talk about this issue of being baptized and getting ready first, Christ makes mention of how he encourages somebody to count the cost before you endeavor on a project, right? Make sure you understand fully what's involved in it. And I think that's what the sentiments you're bringing across to say, hey, in the moments I've had a privilege to speak to baptismal candidates, I always make that clear. Sometimes we sentimentalize, no, you must get it. It's so important for you and whatnot. That's good. That's very true as well. But you also must make them aware what is the cost of getting baptized, what's the requirement and the cost of it, on the value of it on a person's life. And so I totally hear where you're coming from. But you say you want to talk to us about sometimes the fear that we think, hey, let's not be stop this person, otherwise they will miss heaven. Can one be saved without having the water? I mean, it was clear. Christ said to Nicodemus, if you don't have the water and the Spirit, you won't make it.
Yeah, I think there's an interesting quotation that Dr. David Jeremiah, which I would want to share, which I think would definitely scare people out of their skins. And here it goes. It goes like, if you are born once, you'll die twice. Okay. But if you are born twice, you'll die once.
Yes, sir.
Yeah, you know. So I think this is where the rush would be, that if I'm just born once, then I'm going to die twice, which means I would be lost. But I'll just take a moment to address that. Fair and fine. Yes, John 3, verse 3, Christ told Nicodemus, crystal clear, that without being born again, there's no heaven. Which is same as in Mark 16, verse 16. I would want to posit that this is what Christ said, but is that what he meant? Mm. You know, there's a difference between what he might have said and what he meant. I'm coming from a position whereby you look at, again, this is an exception, but still it is important that I bring it to light.
Yeah.
The thief on the cross, for example, in Luke 23, verse 42, Christ assured him that he would be in heaven, but there was no opportunity for him to be baptized.
Yeah.
Right? And even when you read in the book of Zechariah, chapter 13, verse 6, it's clear that even in heaven, some will come and ask Christ, where did you get these wounds? And he would say, I was wounded in the house of my friends. Mm. So, I would want to suggest that in as much as that is what Christ said, it is not necessarily what he meant. There are some people who would still be saved without having been baptized. But if you can be baptized, then you should be.
Yeah, you mustn't then do away with that opportunity. Like you said earlier on, we mustn't take the anomaly, the once exception, as the rule. Don't say, I want to be a thief on the cross. You're not on a cross.
Exactly.
No, certainly, certainly. Nomdala, thank you so much. I think you made that very clear, that it must be understood that this is about a relationship. And if you've got the opportunity to fulfill all obedience, definitely do that. That's what you're judged by. But if you don't have the privilege to do some of these things, you are still saved. So if you don't get an opportunity, because, hey, there are others who say, hey, baptize me now, otherwise I die and then I don't make it. Hey, yeah, no, that is so true. That is so true.
Because we are saved by grace.
Amen.
You know, we are saved by grace. I was just thinking that, you know, when you read theologically, we believe that we are not saved by faith. We are saved by grace.
So it's not about us.
If faith can't even save us, what more baptism? We are not saved by faith. We are not saved by baptism as well. We are saved by grace. But if you have an opportunity to be baptized, why not be? You know, if Jesus himself went to be baptized, then I think he really set the pace.
Indeed, he did. He really set the pace and the stage for us right there. Thank you so much, Mdala. Truly appreciate your time. We cannot wait to see what else we can learn from this very important topic, issues of getting baptized. May God bless you, and to reach out again tomorrow.
See you. Bye.
Bye-bye.
Adventist World Radio SID Media. We are not general practitioners. We are specialists in Bible-based content.